Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. Thank you, Lord, for everybody that is here. God be the glory. As we fellowship around the word of God today, let the Spirit of God take control. And let the words of our mouth, even the preparations of our heart, and the words of our mouth, the answer of the tongue, let it be from the Lord. Let it be to edify and to bless, and let it be to glorify the name of the Lord. We give you all our praise, all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And as always, we declare that the entrance of that word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. We receive that light and that understanding today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So welcome, everybody. I want to do part two of this. I noticed yesterday people didn't have enough time to give their testimonies. I want to do part two today. I'm going to get straight to today's lesson. Part two, the testimony deed to God being all the glory. I want to read through some things in the Bible as part of the testimony, day. And also, I want to tell, quickly of, some instances where, people who were blessed tremendously in the scriptures because they, prepare their hearts to serve the Lord their God, especially some of the kings of Judah. So I will read through some of those. I will read through the book of Hebrews and testimonies of people. Then we're going to let the Lord use you to bless others. You can give your own testimony as well. In the lives of the stories of the children of Israel, we read after the kingdom was divided, the kings of Judah, for the most part, they were righteous. They sought the Lord and did that which was right. For the most part, most of them did. But the kings of Israel, all of them did evil before the Lord. So we're not going to look at the evil kings today. But I want to look at some of the good kings and see some comments that were made about them. How that the Lord blessed them because of, how they served the Lord. And, that's kind of a testimony for them as well. We've been talking about, the testimony that God wrote in the scriptures concerning people that served the Lord. We're going to read some of that in Hebrews 11. Some of these kings, it's noteworthy to see what was testified about them. I'm going to just pick out a few of them. So let's take a look at some of them. Asa is one that was blessed of the Lord because of what he did. So let's read something about Asa from, Second Chronicles, chapter 14, verses 2 to 7. Now, this Asa was one person that did right in the eyes of the Lord, especially at the beginning. Unfortunately, it was the end, though. He faltered a little bit, and got into some issues. But when he was seeking the Lord and when, he was doing the right thing, want to see what the Lord testified about him when he was seeking the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, Asa, his story is written in a few places in the scriptures, but I want to just read some of it, from 2 Chronicles, chapter 14. I want to read a little bit about how this man sought the Lord, how he did that which was right, and how God blessed him. And the lesson here is that doing that which is right in the eyes of the Lord does have rewards. And this is a testimony that was given, concerning these kings that we're about to read. Second Chronicles 14 and 1. It says, Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. and Asa his son reigned in his stead. Now, in his days, the land was quiet 10 years. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord, his God. But took away, you know, the altars of the strange gods and the high places and break down their images. And he cut down the groves. And he commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. So he did that which was right. He also took away all the cities, you know, out of all the cities of Judah, the high places, the images, and so forth. And the kingdom was quiet before him. See, and he said, you know, he began to build fenced cities in Judah before the land had rest. And he had no war in those years because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore, he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers and gates and bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him, and he has given us rest on every side. So that's a testimony. And he himself gave testimony that, you know, because he sought the Lord gave him rest on every side. That's a good testimony. His heart was prepared to seek the law of the Lord, and he did. And the Lord gave him rest on every side. You know, like I said, there was a point in his life where he didn't stay on track, you know, and towards the end there, he started to do that which was not quite right before the Lord. But he had this testimony in the beginning that he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and the Lord gave him rest and peace in the land because he sought the Lord. So that was a testimony about Asa. Well, let's read the testimony about Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, the Lord was also with him and established him in his kingdom. 2 Chronicles chapter 17, you know, verses 3 to 5. Because he also sought the Lord. And when he sought the Lord, his God, the good hand of the Lord was upon him. So as we read here, Jehoshaphat reigned when it was his turn to reign. He began to reign. Asa, it was his dad. I mean, his father went before him. And then now he come along. It's now his turn. Let's see what he did. 2 Chronicles 17. Jehoshaphat's son reigned in his stead. Strengthened himself, you know. So these are some of the good kings, you know, that did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. So he strengthened himself, you know, against Israel. He placed forces in the fenced cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah, you know, in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa, his father, had taken. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat. That's a testimony. Because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. Because he did all those things. Therefore, the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah, you know, brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance. Now, this was because he prepared his heart to seek the Lord of the Lord and to do it. And his heart, you know, was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and groves out of Judah. So that's another testimony of someone that dedicated their, you know, life to serving the Lord, seeking the law of the Lord to do it. And he promoted, you know, righteousness during his time. That people must seek the Lord, cut off different things, just like his father Asa at the first did. And the Lord blessed him because he had sought the Lord. The Lord gave him the kingdom, established it, and also you know, put a lot of things into his hands. So that's another one that got some blessings because of what he did for the Lord. Then we go to, just going to read a few of them. Then we go to this one called Azariah or Uzziah, you know, some translations call him. In Second Chronicles chapter 26, just read a couple of verses, verses 4 and 5 there. It's a testimony. He also was, you know, another king in the line of, you know, in those days, there were descendants, sent out of the king, you know, and so on and so forth. The son of the king would eventually, or one of his sons would eventually become king, and so on like that. And they continued in that, you know, pattern. And this man, you know, it turned out that he also did, you know, some good. You know, Uzziah was his name. You know, all the people took Uzziah when he was 16 years old and made him king, you know, in the place of his father, Amaziah. And he built this place called Eloth and restored it to Judah. After that, the king has slept with his father. So his father left, so he did some things. He was 16 years old when he started to reign. And he reigned for 52 years. One of the longer reigns in Jerusalem. And his mother's name, this is one of the few ones where they actually told you the name of their mother. His mother's name was Jecoliah of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as you know, the king sought the Lord, and God made him to prosper. See, that's another testimony. So I'm just bringing out testimonies of these kings that did well in the sight of the Lord and how God rewarded them, either prospering them or establishing them, making their kingdom to be steadfast and safe during that time, sometimes giving them rest for many years. You know, when they sought the Lord their God, the Lord also blessed them. And, you know, some of their, you know, the Bible will say are their works and the rest of their acts not written in the books of the kings or the books of Chronicles. So you can actually read the stories of these kings. You know, some of them are very interesting stories throughout the, some of them are in, you know, in the book of Samuel, the first set of kings. And some of them are in the, you know, the book of, you know, Chronicles. Some of them are in the book of Kings and all of that. So here's another one. He did that which was right, and the Lord caused things to prosper for him because he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Now, here's another one, Jotham. You know, Jotham was next in the lines of the ones that I want to call out. We'll find his own story in the next chapter, Second Chronicles chapter 27. I'm going to just read one or two verses out of that to see how again the Lord prospered this one that did well. You know, Jotham was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years. You know, I mean, that Uzziah guy, 52 years he reigned. This one reigned only 16 years. His mother's name was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did. You know, howbeit, he entered not the temple of the Lord. And, you know, the people did yet corruptly. Now, he built, notice this though, he built the high gate of the house of the Lord and on the wall. Moreover, he built the cities in the mountains of Judah and so forth. You know, he, you know, at verse 6 is really where I'm going. He fought also with the king of the Ammonites and prevailed against them, children of Ammon, and all of these things, you know. And so this is where he did some things, yeah. And this is the testimony that I want to read of him. And so Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord, his God. So that's the testimony that I want to read from this man. He became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. That's a testimony about him. Next, I'm going to read a couple of testimonies out of the book of Kings. We'll read about Hezekiah. Hezekiah. So, in the book of Hezekiah is one of the more famous kings of Judah. So let's read about Hezekiah in 2 Kings chapter 18. I'm going to read from verses 5 to 7. 2 Kings chapter 18. We're going to read about Hezekiah. Now, let's read Hezekiah. Let me start from verse 1, just to give some context. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. There were two or three kings between him and Jehoshaphat. Now, the 25 years old was when he began to reign. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. You will notice that many of them, David was referred to them as their father, even though he was great-great-grandfather in some cases. But, you know, that's the way the Lord always, you know, used that David, the stem of David, like that. So, what were some of the things he did that was right? Well, he removed the high places, break down the images, cut down the groves, break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made, because people started to worship it. So he broke it down, you know. And in those days, the children of Israel, you know, were burning incense to it. So he broke it down because of that, you know. This man, you know, he was really on fire for the Lord. He trusted also in the Lord God of Israel. So that after him, there was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. I mean, it's a great testimony. You know, great testimony. This Hezekiah, how can somebody be saying that there was none like him? Well, we know there was David. We know there was Jehoshaphat. We know there were all these great kings. But yet, this testimony about him, that he was great. You know, he claimed the reason they said there was none like him was because he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went. He rebelled also against the king of Assyria and served him not, smote the Philistines unto Gaza, and the borders, and so on. You know, and he did, the Lord prospered him tremendously. In those days, well, unfortunately, many of these kings, they always had some kind of a however in their lives, like a comma, you know, did all these good things, you know, however, one place or the other. But nevertheless, you know, these stories are there to show us that they were not perfect in the other ways. David had his issues. Jehoshaphat has his issues when he began to team up with Ahab. You know, Hezekiah had his issues. You know, one day that he did not give glory to God. You know, after God had healed him from his illness, that gave him 15 more years. I mean, you know, every one of them had some story, you know, as part of their, you know, their complete story. They would have some not so perfect moments. But nevertheless, overall, a testimony will be given. In some cases, he will say, well, he did that which was right, but his heart was not exactly perfect. In some cases, it will be said about them that they were perfect all their days, but yet they had some issues, you know. And overall, God just looked kindly on some of these people. The Lord was with him. He prospered in wherever he went, did great things, you know, because his heart was toward the Lord. And you knew the kind of prayer that Hezekiah prayed one time when Sennacherib and Rabshakeh came to chide them and say, look, you better surrender unto us. Otherwise, we'll level you like we leveled all the nations and cast their gods into the fire. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord that powerful prayer, you know. And I've used that story many times because it taught me a great lesson. When you make the fight God's fight, what God will do and how he will respond. Hezekiah made it God's fight. You know, he said, look, yeah, of a truth, they did all those things to those nations and they cast their gods into the fire because there were no gods. But you are the God that seated between the cherubims that made the heaven and the earth. You are that God. Now, you know, save us, O Lord, from their hand, that all the kingdoms of the world may know that you are the very God. See, when you pray like that, you know, and I often said this every time I read his story and that part of his story, that, you know, the prayer he prayed was so that God might get him renown, so that God might get him, you know, fame, get the Lord, not get Hezekiah, get the Lord, fame, in the name of the Lord, be glorified. You know, that's the way he prayed. And when you pray like that, make it God's fight like that, well, God will respond. And he said, you know, they were facing extinction from their enemies, but his prayer was more directed towards God getting the glory. He could have prayed and said, Lord, save us from his hands so that our cities will not be destroyed, our wives will not become widows, our children will not become fatherless, and all these things. I mean, and that would have still been a valid prayer. But instead, he said, save us, Lord, from his hand, in order that all the kingdoms of this world may know that you are the God and thou alone. Now, that kind of prayer gets God's attention, you know. So, you know, we learn a lesson from there too. That look, when we are faced with these issues, Red Sea, mountains that cannot be moved, wall of Jericho, and situations in our lives that we've been talking about the last few days, if we can somehow figure out a way to make it God's fight, well, God is more likely to get up and get him the glory. You know, to make it God's fight, though, we have to make our boast in the Lord. That's right. And you make your boast in the Lord in the situation, you know, that our God will save us whom we serve. You know, we know he's able and he will save us. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego made their boast in the Lord. But they were sold out. Even if he didn't, we know he can and he will. But even if he didn't, doesn't matter. So, but because they made their boast in the Lord, our God is able to save us and he will. Well, then God responded in kind. You know, when you make your boast like that in the Lord and let the people hear it, let the enemy hear it. You know, not they make the boast in the corner. No. Yeah, he said it openly. Our God is able to save us and he will save us. Hezekiah also, he prayed before the Lord and said, I know that you can deliver us because you are that God that is able to do that. All the other gods that were cast in the fire, they couldn't do it because they were no gods. But you are the God, the very God that dwells between the cherubims and so forth. Now, that was a powerful, powerful prayer that he prayed. And it caused God to respond. The Lord said, well, I will defend this city for my name's sake and for David's sake. You know, and I'll put hooks in the mouth, in the noses of your enemies and send them back with a blast. The Lord sent an angel one night, just one angel. That's all he needed. You know, the Lord has some of these angels that are prepared for battle, for those kind of things. They're just prepared. They're called angels that excel in strength. They're ready, you know, for a day and a battle and so forth. The Lord sent one of them. That's all. And he went out there against the enemies that camped out against them and slew 185,000 in one night. 185,000 of their enemies in one night. Can you imagine that? You know, because of the way that Hezekiah prayed, you know, that's the way he prayed. That's what caused the Lord to do this. Let's read a portion of his prayer in Isaiah 37. And when Hezekiah had received the letter, Isaiah 37 verse 14, from the hand of the messengers, he read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread the letter before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed on the Lord and said, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Well, when you begin to tell God that, it's not like God doesn't already know it, but you tell him. And you tell him, that's like you're, you know, making his praise glorious. Now, he said, well, incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear, and open your eyes and see, and hear all the words of this Sennacherib and Rabshakeh, which they have sent to reproach the living God. Now, of a truth, Lord, he said, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their countries. They did that. Just like, you know, they were bragging. So they did it. And they've cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but they were the works of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord, our God, save us from his hand. For what reason? You know, so that our wives will not be destroyed. I mean, become widows, so that our lands will not be destroyed, our children will not be fatherless, you know, and so forth. No. So that we will not be disinherited from the blessing of the Lord. No. Save us from his hand, so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou alone. That's what I call making it God's fact. And when you pray like that, well, the result, you can read later for yourself. The Lord told him what he was going to do. And this is the result. Let's read it in verse 36. And the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians one night, 185,000. That's 185,000. You know, and when they rose up early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. as you know, all their enemies were laid out. Because this man knew how to give the glory to God. Now, these people prospered, the lesson that I'm bringing out here, they prospered tremendously because, you know, they turned not to the left or the right. They served the Lord, and the Lord blessed them. Here's one of the last ones I want to read. There was this young one also called, you know, Josiah in 2 Kings chapter 22. You know, every one of these testimonies that I'm bringing out, the reason is because I'm trying to show how their testimony showed that because they served the Lord did great things for them. They served and trusted in the Lord. And so the Lord did great things for them. You know, this was one of the youngest kings ever. You know, Josiah, he was 8 years old when he began to reign. Reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adaiah of Boscath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the ways of David his father and turned not aside to the right or to the left. And there were many things that he did and many blessings. But he had this testimony that he served the Lord, you know, with all their heart, with all his heart, you know, and trusted the Lord. And the Lord blessed him. He even gave him the grace to do some repairs and different things. And, you know, he was able to repair the temple. He was able to do some things. And the Lord put some blessing upon him. He was just a young kid. I mean, how can somebody, I know he had some advisors and stuff like that. How can somebody at 7 or 8 years old rule the whole nation? It was his turn to reign, and there was nobody else. And I put him in there, you know. And, you know, this is how they anointed the kings. They put them in there, pour the oil on their head, put the crown on their, you know, head, and then put the testimony in their hand. a testimony was the Torah. Give it to them. Follow this. Some of them followed. Some did not. Thank God that the testimonies of those, that we read, that follow the Lord, their testimonies, their works follow them too. And those that follow the Lord, the works follow them. And the Lord, you know, blessed them. And the Lord gave them rest when their heart was with the Lord. Unfortunately, like I said, some of them, you know, they followed the Lord for some time. The Lord blessed them. Then they turned to the flesh. In some cases, you know, at first, you know, they served the Lord, listened to the Lord, and then they turned to some other ways. Then the Lord was wrath with them and so forth. But what, you know, when the Lord with the Lord, the Lord will bless them and he will do great things. Just like a prophet came to Asa and told him, he said, look, while you saw the Lord bless you. And if you seek him, he will bless you. And as long as you are with him, he will be with you and he will bless you. And if you turn against him, then he will turn against you. That was the point at which Asa didn't like that. And he began to be mean to the prophet that told him those things. And from that point on, he went downwards. But for the most part, when they sought the Lord their God and did that which was right in his eyes, the Lord also blessed them, you know. He made them great, you know, and, you know, he put good things into their lives, you know, as long as, you know, their hearts, you know, were toward the Lord. And some of them actually did some great things, cutting down the groves, cutting down the high places and so forth, and disposing, getting rid of the priests and so forth. Asa was, you know, was even good in that. The queen mother was his mother, was queen mother, you know. He dethroned her, got rid of her, because she was serving idols in the palace. That's when his heart was really good. I mean, he did some really great things. Now, the lesson there is, look, while we are with the Lord and we are trusting the Lord and so forth, then the Lord also will be with us and he will prosper our ways. Your testimony will improve, you know. While we serve the Lord, you know, you serve the Lord, it will bless you, you know, and he will be with you as well. But if we turn our hearts against the Lord and we begin to go after the things of the world, you know, then, you know, the tables may turn in our disfavor. But, you know, as long as we are diligent in the things of the Lord, diligent in serving the Lord, well, he will be also there with us, you know. So these lessons we learned from these people that were there to serve the Lord in those days. And many of them did choose to do the right thing, you know, and thank God that their testimonies, but even the places where they faltered, you know, God allowed these things to be written in the scriptures so that we would learn from them. You know, let's learn from the things that these people did, you know. So I'm going to read, in closing this section, before I read the book of Hebrews, I want to read in Second Chronicles, a story from the life of King Asa of Judah. You know, his was quite a story, actually. So let's read something from there. In, 2 Chronicles chapter 15, the Spirit of God came upon this man called Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, well, he'll be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Wow. You know, that was bold. You know, that was really bold. Now, for a long season, Israel had been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. You know, But when in their trouble, they did turn on the Lord their God and sought him. He was found of them. And in those times, there was no peace for him that went out. When they were without the Lord, there was no peace for him that went out or him that came in. There was great vexations upon everywhere because they didn't have the true God, you know. But when they sought him, then the Lord was known unto them and the Lord began to bless them. And so he told them, be ye therefore strong and let your hands be, let not your hands be weak, you know, and so forth. And the first time that this kind of prophet came to him, he was strengthened and he did the right thing, you know. And the Lord cut off all his enemies. And later on, when he sought help from not the Lord, but where he should have not have sought help from, and the Lord sent a prophet to rebuke him, he was angry. And from that time, he started going downwards. But this saying is true. If you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Therefore, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Praise the Lord. There are other people throughout the Bible that have great testimonies. Let me read some of them, and then you can share yours. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, we read some testimonies about some of these people that did great things. Compile them for us here as a summary. Started out by telling us of faith. What faith really means. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that we have not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. So some of these elders, some of the things they did, we've seen some of their stories, powerful stories, you know, like Abraham, who by faith, you know, went 25 years before he saw the promise, but kept believing God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. So many of them did some great things, you know, even some of the promise that they had of getting into a great place, they didn't have it, you know, and some of them even knew that there was something beyond the earthly realm. They didn't get there. The Bible said that they all died, not having received the promises, but they saw the promises afar off. They were persuaded of them. They embraced them and confessed they were pilgrims and strangers upon the earth. Now, here are some of their testimony. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. So today, if your affections, according to Colossians chapter 3, if you set your affections on things above and not on things beneath, then you are declaring, you know, by even your way and manner of life, that you are seeking a better country, seeking a better place. And truly, these people, they had opportunity to have returned, many of them, and God brought them out of their place. But no, they kept going forward. They knew there was something in front of them. Abraham did many things. These people did many things. You know, by faith, all the things they did are recorded here. And here is a round of testimonies, you know, that we read. Let's read some of them. You know, first of all, he had told us even from the beginning how that by faith, we understood that even the walls were framed by the word of God. You know, by faith, Enoch, it was, you know, translated that he should not see death. These are powerful testimonies. You know, Enoch was translated by faith. And his translation was that he should not see death. Now, some people say that Enoch will come back and die. I say no. But the Bible says it was translated that he should not see death. Some people don't understand the prophetic writings about the two witnesses. And they think that, you know, because Elijah and Enoch were the ones that didn't die, that they must, you know, they say, well, every man, he must die. I don't know where they read that from. And then they say, well, it's got to be Enoch and it's got to be Elijah. No, it isn't Enoch and Elijah. It is Moses and Elijah. And those two witnesses appeared with Jesus on Mount Transfiguration and discussed the disease that Jesus used to suffer and his resurrection. But they themselves counting on that resurrection later on. And their ministries define who they are. Have power to call down fire from heaven. That's Elijah. Have power to smite the earth with numerous plagues. Well, that's Moses. And Enoch was never a prophet to Israel. So God would not send one like that. His time was way before Israel. Moses was a prophet to Israel. Elijah was a prophet to Israel. Moses represented the law. Elijah represented the prophets. So God brought them together, and grace was there. Three of them, the law, the prophets, and grace, met in Matthew 17 on Mount Transfiguration. But here it says that Enoch was translated that he should not see death. So Enoch is one person throughout the Bible that would never see death, because God says it right here. Till this day, he's not died. He hasn't died, and he will not die, because he said that he should not see death. So, but he was by faith. Can you imagine what kind of faith? How can you have that kind of faith when God said you are going to die? The day that you eat of this thing that I told you not to do, you will die. Now, Enoch was not there, but Adam told him. God said we will die. That's why he drove us out. But you are not dead yet, Enoch might say. Say, well, yeah, but we are waiting to die. See? Now, but you have faith. I call some people in the Bible, I call them trailblazers. You know, I've talked about trailblazers before. Someday I'll talk more about them. You know, how they did things that people said cannot be done. This Enoch was one of them. Everybody said we're going to die. Waiting to die. Enoch, by faith, he defeated death. He outpaced death. You know, death was encroaching upon them. All of them had the life of God, but death was encroaching on them. And God said, in the day, and they died. You know, but a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. That's right. And that's why none of them could get up to that 1,000 years. They died in that day. Not only spiritual death, they physically also died within that one day, which is 1,000 years. None of them. Methuselah, who was the longest lived, 969 years. That's it. They could not go beyond that one day. But Enoch, he figured out how to outpace that death, which Adam would have told him, this death is going to get all of us, because God said we will die. And so we are waiting to die. You know, they thought it was just physical death. And they did die physically, but they died spiritual death. You know, so, but Enoch figured it out. How did he figure it out? Well, that's a lesson that we will tell, some stories that we will tell, or some lessons we might tell in our September to Remember event, how these people became champions of faith. You may learn that if you come to that place. But today, we see that Enoch, by faith, did these things, defeated death, which nobody could figure out at the time. He figured it out. And many of these people, look at through faith, look at the testimonies they had. You know, Abraham himself, you know, by faith, he received Isaac back from death. Because, I mean, he was almost as good as dead. He raised his hand to slay him, but he already knew by faith. He said, let the lad and I go yonder and we will return again. He spoke it by faith. He knew he was going to go kill the child, but he said, the child and I will go and sacrifice and we will return again. Well, he did return again, because by faith he did that. Sarah herself, by faith, received strength to conceive, you know, and she was delivered of a child when she was past age, so, you know. Doctors or science or nature at their time. They didn't seek to doctors at their time. They just knew how to give birth. But nature dictated to them at that time that she was past age. But as far as God is concerned, she really wasn't past age. She wasn't even quite 100 years. You know, there were people like that, you know, in the past that were more than 100 years old when they had children, you know. So, in those early days, but Sarah received grace and faith and many things. And there are so many other people that are written in this place. By faith, we're told that Isaac was offered up by Abraham and received him again. By faith, Isaac himself blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. The things that Isaac by faith spoke, you know, this men of God in the past, the patriarchs, when they spoke by faith over their children, it was the way it was, whatever they said. You know, the Lord give you the dew of heaven, then it was so. Whatever they said, even Jacob by faith, leaning upon his staff, blessed all his children, and whatever he said was the same. You know, by faith, on and on and on, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. You know, well, they hid him, was by faith. They knew that he was a goodly child, and something was inside of them, you know, wanting to preserve the life of this child. Well, God's hand was upon the child, you know, and all the destiny helpers in his life, his mother, his sister, Pharaoh's sister, everybody that raised Moses up, destiny helpers. He was going to become a deliverer, and no decree from Pharaoh was going to take his life or to preserve his life. By faith, he said, we read of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, of Samuel, of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms. Some of these people actually subdued kingdoms. Daniel subdued kingdoms. You know, they wrought righteousness. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouth of lions. They quenched the violence of fire. You remember some stories like that? Absolutely. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness, they were made strong. They waxed valiant in fight. They turned to fight the armies of the aliens. I mean, they did these things. You know, Samson, great things. David's great men. Did things. I mean, they all did these things by faith. You know, by faith they did these things. And their testimonies are written here. So what's your testimony? This is what we said yesterday. What's the testimony that's been written of you? You know, someday when the books are opened, there'll be one book of life that just has the names of those who are redeemed in there. But there will be another set of books. Hallelujah. And when those books are open, judged out of those things that are written in those books, those of us whose names are in the book of life, there are still entries in the books concerning us, but not judgment that will send us at the white throne. No, we're judged for our works. Your works and the things that you did, when they are open for that, nobody will be able to say anything, because all of us will see those books. You will judge like a vision open in front of you. Now, these books are not books that are written with pen. They are written by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God will open your eyes. You will see all those things. See your life flash in front of you. You can't argue anything. So what is being written? And what is being written? Are we walking in faith today, building our testimony before the Lord? Or are we walking in, he said, don't be of doubtful disposition. Are we being of doubtful disposition? Are we of two minds, halting between, can the Lord do it or cannot the Lord do it? Choose you this day. We did that lesson a few days ago. You know, let your heart be settled. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 119 verse 89 that the word of God is forever settled in heaven. Well, let it be settled in your heart also. You know, it is settled in my heart that what God said he's able to do, he is able to do, and he will do. Praise God. And I'm not going to give an inch. No, that's faith. Jesus said, look, when the Son of Man finally shows up in Luke chapter 18 and verse 8, shall he find faith upon the earth? Of all the things that Jesus could ask, whether he would find, it was faith that he asked about. Because you are praying and believing God. Jesus was teaching faith in those places and resilience in prayer. How men ought always to pray and not to faint. But he said, look, since we are on the subject of prayer, and we know that your Father will eventually answer you speedily, but when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith? Well, you can read that in two ways. I mean, there are multiple ways that revelation out of that can come to you. One, when Jesus literally comes at the end, you know, to evacuate the faithful, will he find faith? Absolutely. The answer is yes, because he will evacuate those who are walking in faith. But also, let's look at it this way. Since we're on the subject of asking God things and not fainting, and not being discouraged. Well, think about it. When God dispatches that answer to you eventually, or would dispatch that answer to you eventually, will you still be at the point of faith? Sometimes God dispatches an answer. We see that in Daniel chapter 10. Dispatches an answer, but somehow the devil, in that case, the prince of Persia, withstood the answer that was coming. 21 days. And it caused this man to fast for 21 days. The answer was, from the time he opened his mouth, the answer was already dispatched. However, the answer did not get to him, but he had to keep believing. Well, he kept believing though. Yeah. You got to keep believing. Whether it's 21 days, 21 months, or however long it takes, you stay right there at the point of faith. When the answer finally shows up, will you still be at the point of faith? Most people run off before the answer shows up. They get discouraged. They begin to grumble, you know, when the answer is right around the corner. There was a story in Exodus chapter 15. These people that Moses brought out of Egypt, as you know, they're saying, they're always complaining about everything. And they grumble, they complain, we don't have water. They complain about that. When they saw water, it was bitter. They complained about that. You know, although God eventually turned into sweet and took the bitterness away. But they complained about everything. Why not there are graves in Egypt that we could have died there? Why do you bring us out? You should have left us alone. Is this not what you told you when we're still there? You know, and all these things. But right around the corner, God had prepared a time of rest. But it was just around the corner. But this is the way the minds of people walk. So if you look at the story in Exodus chapter 15, they were full of grumblings. But right around the corner, they came to Elim, we're told at the end of that chapter, where there were 12 wells of water and 10 and 60, that's 70 palm trees that God had prepared. It was right around the corner from the point of their grumbling. So most of the time, the breakthrough is just around the corner. The people are discouraged, they're grumbling, throwing tantrums before the Lord and so forth. You know, you stay right there at the point of faith. Shall or will Jesus find faith when he comes your way? Will you still be at the point of faith? When he comes knocking, will you open to him immediately? That's right. You know, so let's not give up. Your testimonies are being written. You may not see the book physically now, but they're being written. And what are the testimonies that are being spoken of you? Well, today, we also have opportunity to give testimony to the Lord. The Lord can give testimony to you about you, but you can give testimony to the Lord as well. It's called a testimony of the Lord. I'm not ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. So, what's the testimony of the Lord in your life? How that he took you from nothing. He said, I took you from the sheep coat. I took you from where you were nothing and I brought you up. Well, what were the places that God took you from? Lodabar, for instance. You had nothing going on. This man in 2 Samuel chapter 9, called Mephibosheth. He had nothing going on. But he was destined for greatness. Because actually, after all, he was a prince. You know, but he had been stripped of his priesthood, had lost everything, but some good that his father did ahead of time would come back later. All those things that Jonathan did for David was like paying it forward. And one day, thank God for people like David and Daniel. They are the people that remember their friends that helped them. Some people don't remember. You help them and they do well and they turn around and stab you in the back. They don't care for you anymore. You know, they forget. You know, so, but not David and not Daniel. And Daniel was promoted, put in a good word. In fact, he convinced the king to promote his friends as well. And the king said, wow, it's in your hand. Go do it. And he promoted his friends. But they were the people that prayed with him when they were about to be destroyed. You know, he got the glory, it looked like, but he remembered the people that were with him in the trenches and spoke for them. Same thing with David. After that God had finally given him the throne, and he anointed God to rest, he said, look, who is there that is left of the house of Saul that I might do him some good because of Jonathan? That's right. He remembered all the times that Jonathan saved his life, all the time that Jonathan risked his own life to save David. David said, I'm going to do some good today for somebody from that house because of what they did. He remembered. I pray that people will be like that, that they will remember the good. Sometimes you do some good for people, you lay your life down almost, you know, and when it is well with them, they don't even remember. They don't remember you. Worse even, they may even stab you in the back. So, but these people, they remembered. So David said, bring me somebody that I can bless. And they said, well, you know, we heard that there was one of his sons that escaped. It's Mephibosheth, but he's lame on his feet. You know, I was escaping and all of that. He said, well, you go find him. And they found him. There's a story to all these names that are in the Bible. They found him in a place called Lo Debar, because there's a story to even that name. It was a place where there was nothing going on, a place of darkness, a place of no hope, a place of despair, a place where he was rejected. That's the meaning of Lo Debar. They found it. They sought him out. And they brought him out of there to the king's table. That's right. From Lo Debar to the king's table, listen to that message that we preached about that. And said, wow. And then David said, you will. You know, Hannah prayed about this thing. And David also repeated it. He said, the Lord sets beggars out of the dunghill, put him among princes. Hannah said it. David repeated it. He did exactly that for Mephibosheth. When Mephibosheth came, he gave commandment. He said, Ziba, say, I'm here. Well, you served Saul, didn't you? Say, yeah. Well, now you serve Mephibosheth. All you and your servants, everybody, all the, you know, the lineage of servants, all of you now report to Mephibosheth. It's your boss now. You will, just like you served Saul, you will serve this man from now on. And go make him a seat among the princes. And restored him a seat on the table, and he will eat bread continually at my table. That's right. He did that too. And so that's a testimony. Now, I don't know what this Mephibosheth was believing, you know, but favor found him anyway because of what his father did. So the good that you are doing today may come back to your children or your, even their children after them. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for in many days you'll find it again. Praise the Lord. So ladies and gentlemen, these are testimonies of faith, testimonies of good, testimonies of, sudden favor. Sudden favor. And I have more of those stories for later. How God suddenly changed people's stories. We'll talk about that those later. But today, that's our lesson. A lesson just to prep your mind and give you enough time to be ready to give your testimony, as we did in the room yesterday. So we want to hear a testimony. I'm going to pray over the room, you know, that your testimony and the posture of faith in your life will never diminish. It'll be shining. You know, that's what pleases God. It's faith. For by faith, Enoch was translated. But without his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't do it. You can't please God. You'll be praying all day long. If you don't have any faith, that prayer will not please God. So put your faith into that prayer. That's really what God is answering. It's not just the prayer. There are principles in the kingdom of God. God is not based on just emotion. Follows his principles. If you have faith, or if you believe, Jesus said in Matthew 21:22, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Well, you can turn that around and say, whatever you're asking in prayer, you can be praying all night long, but if you are not believing, you will not receive. You can turn Matthew 21, 22 around to say exactly that. It said, what things soever, all things that you ask in prayer, believing. So if you are not believing, you may not be receiving, even though you are praying. So praying alone is not enough. What things soever you desire also, he said in Mark 11, 24. When you desire, when you pray, believe, he said, and you shall have it. So it is the believing that makes your prayer to be heard, not just the prayer itself. You can pray all day long. If you don't believe, you won't get anything out of it. So put your faith right there with your prayers. And that faith must be based on the word of God. We've taught that multiple times. So today, Lord, I pray for your people. Faith will rise in our hearts. When we hear the testimonies of others, let faith rise in our hearts, Lord, for us to believe what God has done for one, he can do for another. To God be the glory. Thank you, Lord, for these testimonies that we've read in the word of God, how that people that sought the Lord and prepared their heart to do that which was right, how that God blessed them and favored them. To God be the glory. Now, favor your people, Lord, and favor their righteous cause as well. Let the face of the Lord shine upon your people to bring forth testimonies in their lives. To God be the glory. And as we give God the praise, David said, look, if I were to count your goodness, you know, from morning till night, they could not, too much, too many to be numbered, reckoned unto thee. But my mouth shall speak of the wonderful things of the Lord. I pray that the people of God will not be silent. We'll give testimony to the praise and the glory of God. God be the glory. Thank you, Father. Give you all the praise and glory. And the books that have been written concerning their works, first and last. Glory to God. The works of your people, first and last, are they not being written in the books? You know, this book that is being written, said the Lord, when you do your things and when you even speak concerning the name of the Lord heard it and wrote a book of remembrance in front of him. The books that have been written in our lives, may they, the pages be filled with testimonies of great things, because the people that do know their God, they will be strong and they will do exploits. There'll be great exploits in your life as you're learning more and more about God. And you give glory to God, God will do even more for you. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. That's our lesson, my lesson today. But I want to turn the room over for testimony. It is no secret what God can do. That's right. For what he's done for someone, he will do for you. It is no secret what God can do. What is done for another, he'll do for you. Now, this is what testimony does. When you hear people's testimony, let them inspire faith in your heart. To believe that. It's not a secret. God done it for one. He can do it for all too. Praise God. Good morning. Good afternoon. Welcome, to the lesson and the room, the fellowship hour today. Will you give your testimony of what God, good things the Lord has done for you? Praise God. I'm going to open it up for additional testimonies. If you were in the room yesterday and you wanted to speak, you couldn't because we had to close the room at the end there. I saw that more people wanted to speak. Well, here's your opportunity now. We still have some time left on the clock today for you to give your testimony. Praise God. So good morning, good afternoon, welcome, and you may share your testimony now to the glory and praise of God. Amen.